So we made it down to the town of Copan Ruinas, or Copan, not to be confused with Coban, Coban. No, we're looking at Copan, Copan, which is a lovely place, not too far from the Guatemalan border, and also gave us a bit of an example of, or a first taste, sorry, of the Maya. Now, this isn't a history podcast. I'm not going to go into all aspects of the Maya. Be talking about them quite a bit between now and when we wrap up our journeys in Central America, purely because a lot of places that we go to will have some form of ruins, including some incredibly famous ruins that you've probably heard of before. So you don't want to miss out that for future episodes. But I'm not here to talk about, the Maya. All I can say is that Copan itself was an archaeological site of the Maya. And the reason I find the Maya incredibly interesting is almost the era in which they were around. So yeah, okay, you've got BC, 500 BC and more, etc., etc. That's okay. But really what I like is the fact that a lot of the history that people know about the Maya is what we would class as the Middle Ages. So you're talking between the 5th century AD up until the 9th, 10th century AD. Now, I think the reason I like that, and I didn't realize this at the time, but it's something that I learned to appreciate now, is that if you look at European history or UK history, and we call it the Dark Ages, because no one really knows what was going on. Bit of Anglo-Saxon here, bit of Anglo-Saxon there, maybe some Danish here, some Danish people there. A bit of Alfred the Great as well at the latter end. But really not a lot was going on in the UK. There's not a lot of recorded history of that time. So to have that gap filled by, in my perception anyway, to have that gap filled by the Maya, knowing that there's a lot of stuff going on in a different part of the world at a different time that kind of fills a gap that we have in our country, I think maybe that's why I enjoy it quite a lot. Probably more so than other people, but that's probably why I enjoy the Maya civilization quite a lot. As I said, there's a multitude of books you can read or listen to, some great audio books about the Maya civilization and also the Aztecs as well. We wouldn't meet the Aztecs on this journey. The Aztecs are more renowned for the area in and around Mexico City, so not really where we were or we were going to end up at all. Well, that being said, going back to Copan, it was a capital city of the major classic period between the 5th and 9th centuries AD. It was also to the extreme southeast of Maya territory, so you really won't find many other ruins in and around Honduras. Predominantly the Maya, you're going to find their ruins, etc., in and around southeast Mexico, a lot of Guatemala as well, Belize, and also for later periods of Maya, up in the Yucatan area, Quintana Roo, where Cancun is, Campeche as well. But for now, we're in Copan. It was our first experience of the Maya. We were only there for 2 nights. The first night was pretty much a case of, we got there in the afternoon, we have a walk around the town. It's a relatively small place, so I think we got around within about an hour or so, stopped off, had a couple of beers, and the following day, first thing in the morning, we'd head down to Copan Ruinas, the ruins themselves, and we knew in the afternoon we would then visit things like the Temple of Rosalila, the Museo Casa Quinich, or Quinich, it's like a fortress on top of a hill, and also visit the wonderfully named tea and chocolate place, El Lugar del Tea y Chocolate. Fantastic. And then once we'd done that, that's pretty much, Copan done. Not a lot else to see and do there. The ruins itself were fantastic. Again, it was at the time absolutely scintillating. Even when I look back on it now, they were really cool ruins for a complete different reason in comparison to some of the other places that we ended up going to. We were mesmerized by the almost like a ball game that the Maya may or may not have played, and getting these big balls for these hoops on the side of an arena. Google it. It's incredibly bizarre figuring out how they do that. By the way, they weren't allowed to use their hands, I don't think, in that game. And of course, a bit more human sacrifice. A lot of the plaques in the ruins, and most of them were written in, well, all of them were written in Spanish, as you'd expect, There were a couple that had been translated into English, not an issue. And there's also a couple that were written in the Maya dialect, the language as well, sorry. So that was quite cool. A lot of interesting temples, steles, things that we'd not seen before, things that were completely new to us. And bear in mind that the last major civilization that we'd seen, which was the Incas, they didn't have any binding material for their buildings. They're literally just stone. Whereas the Maya seemed to have quite a popular thing called stucco, which basically it's incredibly white. Once it's done, it was all painted into different colours and whatnot. Of course, nowadays, you know, it's mainly white as the colours of the stones and the stucco have deteriorated. But again, the building style, the architecture, the engineering was completely different. Of course, it makes sense that this site is pretty much next to a river as well. So that made a lot of sense. So the site was a site. We had a good few hours walking around there, looking at various things, again, like the ball court, Las Sepulturas, and various different, pyramids and things that are completely new to us. We just read everything that we could about the site and decided that that was pretty much everything we needed to see. On the way out, we saw the Temple of Rosalila, also the Museo de Esculturas, just to rack up on as much information as we could. We knew we might as well take our time. There wasn't really a lot else to do in the town itself. The Museo Casa Caniche at the top of the hill was funky. That really went back to basic Maya. It was like a little museum for like 6-year-olds. It might as well have been. The layout, the design of it, it was incredibly informative. It was incredibly fun to go around. I think we were playing around by dressing up as Mayas, as well as learning basic alphabet and basic numbering as well. So a fun side story from that. It was a good job we did go into that museum because we started learning a few numbers in Maya. And that actually led to figuring out what the number 13 is. Now, the number 13, I was born on the 13th of July. And, you know, I quite like the number 13 for just because I was born on that date. So I figured out what the number 13 was, and I made a vow to get a tattoo of the number 13 in Maya, which has now been completed for a few years. So yeah, if you ever do look at my lower left arm or right arm, when you look at me, you'll see the Maya symbol for 13 inked onto my skin. Fun times. After we'd finished playing around with Maya numbers and learning bits and pieces about basic Maya, we headed off to the, again, wonderfully named Tea and Chocolate place. The hostess there was incredibly attractive. For me, I'm weak at the knees. If you give me someone of that skin complexity, long dark hair, dark eyes, for me that just, it almost sends me into overdrive. As you have been warned, that always sends me into overdrive. I guess we like different things, but for myself, that for me is fantastic. I find pretty much anyone that's got those qualities almost instantly attractive as such. The museum was great. There was fun times because there was we were drinking a cup of hot chocolate on the outside, and a cat came and sat on my lap, which. My brother quite crudely remarked at a later point in time, that's the only pussy he's probably had on holiday. No comment. And we were lucky that the cat didn't climb up into the rafters and we weren't eating food. Otherwise, it would have been a Cambodian moment again. So that didn't happen, which was very, very thankful. It was just a very pleasant experience. You're looking out into, not the rainforest, but you know, you're looking out into the hills, you're looking out at the trees, you know, listening to the sounds of the birds. Not many people within the museum itself or sampling the teas and the chocolates. So it's a very pleasant way to end our evening. It's a very pleasant way to end our time, brief time in Honduras. What we did do the following day, we knew that that's Honduras done. We knew that next destination would be Guatemala. And we did mention a while ago about going into capital cities. In Latin America, we went into as many as we could where we were in the respective countries. But we hadn't really done that too much purposely in Central America. Okay, yes, we had Christmas in Panama City. Granted, that is the capital. We stopped off in San Jose in Costa Rica because it was the most logical place to stop off for a night whilst traveling through the country. In Nicaragua, we had been to the bus station in Managua. Don't really recommend it. It's not a lot there apart from buses. And again in Tegucigalpa as well. We never stayed there, but having had a drive around it because of the road network, again, looked okay, but you know, we weren't there to visit Tegucigalpa. Same with Guatemala City. Again, at the time, it was regarded as quite a dangerous place to go. It's very easy to take the wrong turn and end up in the wrong place. Yeah, there was a few museums here and there, but the Lonely Planet pretty much was saying, look, there's no point really going to Guatemala City. You might as well go to Antigua, Guatemala, which is the old Guatemala City, which is completely in a different place. So, you know, you might as well go there. And that's what we decided to do. When we got down to the bus station in Copan, we took this. What happened was, in a nutshell, we got down there and found out that there was a company who was selling, basically selling Guatemalan bus tickets. What they would do is, rather than, you know, fanny around and go from place to place and, you know, do this or that, they would sell a set of bus tickets to you, and it would entitle you to, you know, pretty much 5 or 6 journeys through Guatemala. You'd be on a private minibus. Bear in mind, for the last 6 weeks or so, we've been using chicken buses, which, not ridiculously comfortable, not the fastest things in the world. You know, a bit time wasting. We were at the stage where we wanted something with at least a little bit of comfort when we were traveling. That was our ideology. So this company in Copan Runas were selling tickets throughout Guatemala, and we came up with a plan basically to get those tickets. They were going to be in little colectivos, so your regular sort of minibuses now, and there'd only ever be about 8 or 9 people on board, so you pretty much private transfers all the way through Guatemala. And it was about $130, which, when we thought about it and we thought about the hassle of the journeys and the fact that the little minibuses would go into the heart of Guatemala, it would be worth it just for that. So that's what we done. First stop was Antigua, Guatemala. We got dropped off at the border. The same minibus then picked us up after we got our visas and whatnot checked, or our passports checked. And then that was it. About 6 hours later, ended up in Antigua, Guatemala. And what would Guatemala have in store for us? The answer is quite a lot. And you can join us on next week's episode to find out what we got up to in Guatemala. Hasta luego.